Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Water baptism is not tied to salvation. It is not a purification process, nor does it have anything to do with church membership. Getting dunked underwater baptizes a person into Christ, but it won't keep you from sinning. Water baptism started with John the Baptist, hence the name, but it culminated with Jesus. The act of baptism serves to demonstrate the spiritual reality of what the Son of God accomplished on the cross and His subsequent resurrection. In following Jesus' example, we signify our love by obeying His commandment. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And today we're going to finish up the message on salvation. On water baptism. And we call this message the way of the Master, and the Master is Jesus. Let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise You right now. That, Lord, we can again go to Your scriptures and study them and learn what You want us to do. And I pray that You open our spirits today, give us discernment, that we will understand what water baptism is and how it affects us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What we're doing is, I'm realizing that I am in the latter part of my life. That's just a truth. And I'm asking God to give me another 15 years to go. And I've been in the ministry for 55 years plus. And what I know today is vastly more than I knew when I started the ministry. I could not preach these sermons that I'm preaching now 25, 30 years ago. I did not have the understanding. God has opened my understanding to the past. I wrote a book called The World That Was. He's opened my understanding on the future, and I've written a book called The World to Be, that we're going to introduce increments. And so these sermons are going to be a legacy that I want to leave behind, a basic doctrine, so as the time comes when we get closer to the Antichrist, there will be some solid teaching, preaching available to people. That's what I want to leave after I have gone. And that's why we do detailing these now so much. Most of you know this stuff, but this is for future generation, also for you to learn how to speak. So baptism is not tied to salvation. Do you need to be baptized in order to be born again? Not at all. Salvation is unmerited grace. It is not based upon actions. We cannot do anything to earn our salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 we read this. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's just for a moment think about what is salvation. All of us are born with a sinful nature, As we grew older, we sinned more and more. Some people sin more than others. But what is sin? Sin is breaking God's commandments. We start early by lying, cheating, stealing. We get older, we get involved in sexual fornication, and we get involved in a number of different things. And so, we really are sinful people. How do we get rid of this? Well, Jesus, who is the Son of God, incarnated, he came down to earth, and when he was put on the cross by the Romans, God put on him all the sins that you and I have committed, and all the sins we will commit until we leave this earth. And on the cross, he paid for it. He was judged severely by the Father with a pain that you and I cannot understand. It was so bad that the Bible says for 3 hours it was darkness. No one can see the judgment hitting Jesus, hurting his body, hurting him as Jesus. So he paid for it. So now, you and I really should pay for our own sins. But there's a setup. If you repent, repent means that you are sorry, you want to turn around. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he paid for our sins on the cross, and you ask him to come into your life and take control of your life and to forgive you, he will come in and he will wipe out your sins and say, you are not guilty anymore. You have my righteousness. When I enter heaven, I'm not going to say, well, I preached for 50, 60, 70 years. I've done a lot of good things. I'm going to say one thing. I'm here by grace. I'm washed in the blood. That's all I have. That's all we got. So that's salvation. If water baptism was required of, in order to be saved, then the thief on the cross would not have made it to heaven since he had no opportunity to be baptized in water. And we read here from Luke chapter 23, 39 to 43 this. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if you be Christ, if you be the Messiah, save yourself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, did you not fear God? See, you are in the same condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, Lord. He called him Master. He acknowledged him as God. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Getting baptized in water does not make you any more a believer than standing in the garage makes you a car. If baptism is essential to salvation, why did Jesus fail to state so in his conversation with Nicodemus? And we read here from the Gospel of John, chapter 5. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answers unto him, verily, verily, say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it comes. And where it goes, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Now, if you belong to a Catholic church, or a Mormon church, or Jehovah's Witnesses, or if you're a Muslim, or a Buddhist, or so, or Hindu, you're not going to hear the term born again. They're telling you that you got to do all these works to get some kind of salvation they offer. Jesus' reference to water in verse 5 refers to the birthing process. The sack of ammonic fluid surrounding the I don't like the word fetus. I like the word baby. Surrounding the baby provides a protective, nurturing environment. When the sack breaks, if release of the water signals time for the baby to be born. So the God-man was not referring to water baptism in his conversation with Nicodemus. He was saying it is necessary to first be born of your mother so you can be born a second time of God. You must be born so you can be born again. The logic is simple that even a child can understand the meaning. This brings us up now to a very soft, I would say very difficult question. If a child, a baby, is not born, but dies in the womb, according to John, that we have here in chapter 3, I said chapter 5 before, I was wrong. That baby is not born, is still unborn. And it cannot repent. It cannot repent of the sins and receive Christ. Matter of fact, a baby inside a womb after it's conceived doesn't know anything except it exists. This leaves a question that many churches simply like to ignore. What happened to babies that were aborted? According to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, they didn't make it. They were not born again. You know, we sugarcoat things. We try to say, "Oh, God loves little children." Yes, he does. "Oh, God does this or that." But we really need to be honest with ourselves and simply say there are consequences. I'm not saying this to torment women that have had abortions. I'm just simply stating here, if you know this, if the parents know this, and they would simply hammer that home to their children, particularly their girls, even the boys, that abortion is not an option, we would have less. But we have been told into, "Oh, that's okay, God understands, children belong to him, they go straight to heaven." According to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, what Jesus said, they don't. Look at the statement we have here. If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you only die once. What about water baptism and sin? Can water baptism wash away sin? The answer is no. Only the blood of Jesus provides atonement. We got a group here of We're going to read first Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through the blood of the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. In Colossians 1:14 we read this. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. As these scriptures show, only the blood of Jesus, not water, can wash away our sins. Now let me deviate a little bit here. Particularly among Pentecostals, they play the blood. I'm sure you heard the term. I play the blood over this person. I play the blood over this house. I play the blood over this or that. That is not scriptural. That is witchcraft. I don't sink in. The blood of Jesus has one thing that it does. It washes away our sins. Period. It is not magical. You cannot throw the blood. It's like people in the Catholic Church have a cross and they go like this and think the cross would ward off the demons. If you've been pleading the blood over something, you need to ask God to forgive you. Because now you're using the blood in a way that it is not supposed to be used. It has one purpose. Wash away our sins. Purpose of water baptism. Baptism connects us to the corporate body of Christ and joins us with other believers around the world, regardless of our social standing. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, we read this. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. When you are baptized into Christ, you're also baptized into the body of Christ. Baptism declares that you are a follower of Jesus. It's a public confession of your faith and commitment to Christ. It's the next step unto salvation and an important foundation because it is a demonstration of a spiritual reality that's already taken place in your life. Romans 6:1 through 5, you read this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his church. Were baptized into his death. We also baptized into the church of Jesus Christ, not the physical church, but the spiritual church. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism to death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Wedding rings are exchanged by the groom and bride as a symbol of their commitment to each other. The circular and broken object worn by each spouse represents the vow that we lived out on a daily basis. In like manner, water baptism is a symbol of new life as a Christian. The water is death, and you are burying the old life when you go under death and rising to new life when you emerge, resurrection. You are unashamedly showing the world that you have put your hope in Jesus. That's what water baptism means. Baptism is a statement to everyone that you have trusted Christ for salvation. You're committed to living for him. You're united with Christ in death, but you go under the water and resurrected to newness of life coming out of it. In Colossians 2:12, we read this, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. The way of the Master. Being a Christian does not give you license to sin. You cannot live in the grace and practice a sloppy form of Christianity. In Romans 6, 1-2, what shall we then? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So how are we sin-free after we are baptized in water? No. That's a problem. You see, we got a sinful nature with us. Here's what's working against us. We have a sinful nature. We have our emotions. Ooh, emotions. And emotions have no intelligence. Let me say that again. Emotions have no intelligence. And so the devil knows this. Fallen angels know this. Even spirits know this. And here's a problem that you've been lied about. Even spirits can't read your mind. They read your mind like you read a newspaper or a book. So here we are now. We have a sinful nature. We have our emotions. Demons can get in our mind and they read it. And they can see our weaknesses. And this is, oh, this guy has a sexual attraction to women. Well, we got a nice little project for that. We're going to expose this man to pornography. And so they lead that person to find some pornography watching. And before long, the person is deep into pornography and he's bound. So let's say he got saved. And now I got to get rid of my pornography. How do I do that? Well, it's an act of your will. You know, you're not eating cyanide every day. I don't think that you ever ate cyanide. Because you know this, if I eat the cyanide pill, I'm done. It only takes 60 seconds to get cyanide into your mouth, and you are cold out. Dead. So we don't need that. Now, we know that pork is something we shouldn't eat, but we don't die when we eat pork. So we waffle on that. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. The demons have a tailor-made program just for you. The program they have for me is not the same they have for Sotiris or Michael or someone else here in the ministry. Each one of us got a different program. It's designed according to our weaknesses. The demons never come in and touch where we are strong. They touch our weaknesses. So what you need to do is, you need to simply learn this. I'm not going to cave into this. You got to catch it. If they get your emotions running, you're done. You're done for a day or two or 3 days or whatever. Sometimes people are out for years. You got to catch it and say no. Let me try to illustrate that. Let's say that you're a woman and you're going to some place, let's say a hair salon. And so the hairdresser is a homosexual. So she's put her hands a little bit on your body that has nothing to do with your hair. And she's insinuating to you, you know, that would you like to, I'd like to take you out for dinner someday, you know, just go and have a little girl talk. Well, if you're smart enough, you know that this woman is a fag, and she's no good. You can witness to her, but the last thing you want to do is to simply say, oh, yeah, I asked my husband if we can go and have some dinner, and that'd be a nice time, you know. She's going to seduce you. And before you know it, you're in a bed someplace. So what do? It's what I do when I meet the homosexual. I simply say, I want nothing to do with you. Get your hands off my body. I've had it happen when I was younger. And I told this guy, I said, you test me one more time, I'm going to take a piece of iron, I'm going to beat it to a pulp. And I was fearless. And he walked circle around me after that. So that's what you got to do. You're going to simply say, no, I am not going to do it. I'm not going to take a drink. I'm not going to take that cigarette. I'm not going to watch that porn. No, no, no. You can't do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. If you're not emotional, if you're emotional, it's very hard to resist. Back to the outline here now. Roman Catholicism, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, and Lutheran churches teach when a person is baptized in water, he's also baptized into the church. These are even some Baptist and Pentecostal churches that hold this doctrine that the person is baptized into local church or denomination. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that you're baptized into Christ and Him alone. In Romans 6, 3-4, we read this. Know you not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism to death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. We are going to be resurrected just like Jesus. In Romans 6:5, we read this. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I have made a choice that I do not want to sin. Am I tempted at times? Yes. Do I always am successful after 56 years in the ministry? No. There are times I lose my temper. And there are times I can get pretty nasty. And you wouldn't say, well, that's the Pastor John. Yeah, that's me. But I don't stay in it. I realize it. I repent. I work myself out. We are crucified with Christ, and therefore should not continue to live in sin. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In Romans 6:7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. I used to be an ex-smoker. I smoked about 30, 35 cigarettes a day. I even had to get up at night and smoke. I don't smoke anymore. I haven't smoked since 1965. And today, I can go in a store, I see cigarettes there. They have no attraction to me. I'm so happy I don't have to clean that tobacco for the tobacco companies. Since we will live with Jesus, we should also be dead to sin. Romans 6:8. Now, if you've been dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. You went to a grocery store, and there's liquor, there's wine, strong stuff. I could go down those aisles. I look at it and said that had no attraction to me. I couldn't care less. I don't want to have it. Now, if you've been dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. In Romans 6, 9 through 10, we read this. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but that he lives unto God. The question is, who is your master? That is the answer Paul provides in the letter to the Romans. As a Christian, you should not let sin reign in your life. Instead, you are to live in a holy manner that is set apart for the world. If you yield to a sinful life, you also become a slave to sin. And the end result is always death. Obeying God's commandments make you the bond servant. Actually, you should be bond slave. Turn to Romans 6:16. If we go in the Bible or not, we don't have it on the in our time. It's Romans 6:6. We're going to read that. Okay, let me say Romans 6:16. Excuse me. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey, whether of the sin of the death or of obedience unto righteousness. If you've got a King James Bible, the word servants there, the Greek word is doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S. It means slave. When we read servant, we think of somebody working for somebody, like someone working at a restaurant. It should be slave. Let me read it. Know you not that whom you yield yourselves slaves to obey? His slaves you are to whom you obey, whether of sin or death, or obedience unto righteousness. A number of years ago, maybe 10 years ago or so, I was contacted by a man down in Los Angeles. Matter of fact, in Los Angeles. He was a chain smoker, 2 packs a day or more. So he was talking about it, and I took him to the scripture, and I said, Mister, his name was Eric. I said, Eric, you are a slave to the demon of nicotine. He's a worship demon because he comes to you and say, it's time to worship me. You stick it in your mouth, you light it up, you go like this. And the demon said, thank you very much. I'll be back. Nicotine demon is a worship demon. And they are hard to get rid of. I read the scripture to him. I didn't talk a whole long to him. And then I hung up, and I found out a year later that he quit cold turkey. When he realized he was a slave to nicotine, he said, no more. He went from 2 packs a day to 0. You can do it if you have the will to do it. The act of baptism. Some believe that sprinkling water on a person's head constitutes the water baptism, while others hold a full immersion in water. This is not difficult to prove because Jesus modeled many things for us. The Greek word used for baptism in the New Testament is baptizo, which means to immerse. Actually, it's baptizo, with a V. Matthew 3:16a. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. In Mark 1, 9 through 10, we read this. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee, was baptized of John in Jordan, and straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open, a spirit like a dove descending upon him. Following Jesus' example, Baptism by immersion is only acceptable method of carrying out his instructions. It is no stretch of the imagination to say that even baptism in the Bible involved dipping a person under a body of water. The book of Acts shows us that this was the norm for every believer. In Acts 8:36, we read this. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What has hindered me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the answer said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So, it's pretty clear that water baptism is a, I would call a rich, it's a ritual, but it's also a sacrament. So Jesus gave us the following: water baptism, communion, and foot washing. Notice that churches that do water baptism by immersion and they do communion, they don't do foot washing. They don't like that. But that is something that we also should do. And I learned this when I advertised we're going to have foot washing next Sunday. Half the congregation didn't show up. They just stayed home. They simply rebelled and said, like Peter. And Peter was asked, he said, "Never, you're never going to wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I'm not do that, you have no part of me." And then he said, "Wash my head too." So let's do a infants and children here. Water baptism through immersion is an act of free will. It involves submitting to the command of Jesus. As a result, the sprinkling of infants has no validity with God because they are incapable of making such a decision. Baptism is an act of faith, but one who chooses to identify his life with Christ. Do babies understand faith and repentance? No, they don't. On the other hand, there is nothing wrong with baptizing children who are old enough to understand what it means. One indication is waiting till the child asks to be baptized. This is usually a good sign that they are ready. So, if you're a parent, this is something that you really should think about, because in some churches they say, well, a person has to be 18 years old, they have to be adult. 18 years now used to be 21. But think about it this way. If you're holding back your child from being baptized in water because you think, they should wait a little bit longer, and they die, they still go to heaven. But there's a blessing that you took from them. You took that blessing away from them. Let's go to the summary here now. We must be careful not to let significance of water baptism be lost on us, simply considered as a mere tradition of Christianity. It is not. It is part of an act of salvation. We do it because we are saved. There's a deep symbolism embedded in the act, and everyone who engages in it must be first made aware of its purpose and importance in Scripture. Water baptism is not a ceremony of purification. Only Jesus can provide spiritual cleansing. Instead, baptism is a way to demonstrate the spiritual reality that Jesus already accomplished through his work at the cross. And John the Baptist instituted the baptism of repentance. In Acts 19:3, we read this. And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And he said unto the John's baptism. But there's more in the ordinance of water baptism than just repentance. It now represents Jesus' death and resurrection. In the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 4 through 5, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that should believe on him which would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We know that salvation is not tied to baptism. It is merely an outward representation of what takes place spiritually at the moment of salvation. Water baptism started with John, but it culminated with Jesus. John launched the rocket, but Jesus put it in the orbit, if I can use that term. So, summarizes myself. Water baptism is an act of obedience. Some people get saved and they say, I don't want to be baptized in water. Well, you're still saved, but you are not going to be blessed. When you come up to the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus is going to say this to you. Why did you not obey me and were baptized in water by immersion? And he says, well, I belong to the denomination and didn't teach that. Jesus is going to say, did I start that denomination? No. Then why do you disobey me? It's going to cost you points. I was going to reward you over here, but I can't give you that reward because you rebelled. So you're not going to get it. The same thing with foot washing. If you haven't practiced that, sometimes I have husband and wives wash each other's feet. It's a wonderful thing to do. If a husband and wife had an argument and they sit down and wash one another's feet, praying and weeping and praising God, you want to be obedient. I shot a lot of stuff out to you here this morning. Basically, we talk about water baptism. But I wanted you to understand, obedience is better than sacrifice. Rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. So if you are getting saved, if you're saved and you're not baptized in water, it's time to line that up and to have that done. You've been listening to me, and I talked to you about how I got saved here today. I talked about Jesus, how he died on the cross, and how he gave his life for you and me. And over the years, I've encountered people that thought they were Christians, but they were not. They were never born again. They had never understood what it meant to be born again. And if you feel like a little bit iffy, all you have to do is to simply say, today I'm going to settle it. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection, I can be saved. My Heavenly Father, forgive me my sins. Jesus, come on in and save me, and Jesus will. When we finish here, the screen will change for you, and you will see three crosses coming up, and you will hear Pastor Charles Terrell saying, my friend, and he will give you 10 minutes to make sure that you really are saved. When you do that today, would you? Or whenever you hear this message, would you contact us? I'd like to rejoice with you. And to those of you that are saved, most of you have been baptized in water. You're okay. But now, how are you doing with your sins? Are you a slave to sin? Or are you a slave to Jesus? Examine yourself and think about it today, whenever you hear this message. Be honest with yourself, because you know inside who you are. And if you need change, ask Jesus to change you. Say, Jesus, I got problems with some sins. I got problems with my emotions. I got problems with this or that. Lay them on the altar. Don't pick them up again. And ask the Holy Spirit to simply take it from you. And you can have a great time as you walk with Christ. God bless you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your words that you have given us, Lord God. Thank you for all that you do, how you lift us up and hold us up, Lord God, each and every day. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us and saving us. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for dwelling with us and being able to communicate with us and to help us and guide us and direct us in our life, Lord God. We thank you for that. We thank you so much. We give you the praise and honor and glory. We ask you to watch over us, guide us, bless us and direct us, all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that he sent his own son to pay a debt he did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the second part in the series, The Baptism of Jesus, and was entitled, The Way of the Master. Water baptism is not tied to salvation, nor does it wash away sin. It is not a purification process, as only the blood of Jesus is capable of cleansing sin. Getting dunked underwater baptizes a person into Christ, not into a church. Church membership has nothing to do with the matter, nor will baptism keep you from sinning. The tradition of sprinkling babies has no validity because they are clueless. But parents will know when their children are ready because accepting Christ always precedes water baptism. We must not consider baptism a mere tradition of Christianity. The act serves to demonstrate the spiritual reality of what Jesus accomplished on the cross and His subsequent resurrection. Baptism by immersion may have started with John the Baptist, hence the name, but it culminated with Jesus. In following the God-man's example, we signify our love by obeying His commandment. Let's follow Jesus and do it right. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 2015. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.